thank the committee for asking me to speak at this opening meeting. Like, are we ready for a good weekend? Alright, so I was asked to speak on this Pray, Stay, Slay, and I was like, what the hell does that mean? Right? I'm used to going to conventions that like have themes that are in the books, right? Lost Dreams Awaken. Ooh, right? So I was like, what is this? I've never read Carol Slay, right?
Welcome.
I know, Pray is there. Stay, maybe. You know, it's a spiritual principle, right? Stick around, that perseverance.
Right.
So, I don't know if you guys noticed this, right? See that the elephant? And that's the stay. It's like the old Mad magazine things. If you go like this, it says Pray, and then octopus.
Oh.
And then if you go like power. The only power that I was like even in interested in was that next one. So, the octopus is adaptable. Right? Changes. Like, I don't know if you ever saw those, I love nature channels. So, like, it can be crawling across the bottom of the ocean, right? And then something comes, and all of a sudden it'll stick itself on a rock, and it changes to look like the rock. Right? I was a chameleon out there, but, like, now I have to, like, learn this whole new way of life. So I have to, like, kind of act my way into right thinking this way. Because if I, like, do what you guys do, maybe I'll get what you get. Right? So I had to, like, be adaptable. And I don't know, the eight arms can't hurt your brain, right? Because this isn't always, I need to, like, eight. And then sleigh, and that's the eagle. And the eagle is strength and farsighted. You know, like, I can't predict the future. I have to be where my feet are at. But that doesn't mean that I can't dream, because you guys told me lost dreams awaken, new possibilities arise, right? So I have to be on the lookout for that stuff. I also have to be on the lookout for those IBMs. What the fuck is she talking about? Why is she talking about her vowels? I didn't say IBS. I did not say IBS. I said IBMs. Itty bitty miracles. Because I couldn't see a lot when I first came around, right? I couldn't see that my life was changing, that, like, miracles could do happen. This room is filled with miracles. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I couldn't stay clean a day. How many people have a day? Please raise your hand. What the hell? That's a whole bunch of miracles right there. So, yeah, I had to, like, see my little itty-bitty miracles. What's an itty-bitty miracle? That's when I feel really down, and I'm wondering, like, is this really going to work for me? Because I had this crippling self-esteem issue that I was not worth getting clean. Because I did so much shit out there, and so many bad things, and I hurt so many people. One of my worst things that I ever did out there was I knocked old ladies down and stole their pocketbooks. You know, like, really, the weakest people in our society, I took advantage of. I stole from my mother. I did a lot of stuff. I don't have to tell you guys, right? I woke up every day wishing that it would just be my last one, because I didn't know how to get through. I didn't know how to get through the stuff that I did, and the guilt and the shame that I felt. But then somebody would call me from the program. You want to go to a meeting? You want to go out to eat afterwards? You want to go for a walk in the woods? You want to just, and then you go have fun, and you laugh, and you realize that maybe, hey, if they like me, maybe I'm kind of likable. If you guys believe in me, maybe, you know, there's something worth saving. And the longer I stuck around and came, the more confidence I got that I belong here. You know, these seats are for people who work this program, who need this program, who have been to the depths that I have, you know, and went through the emotions that I have. I don't know, the itty-bitty miracle for me is that moment when something happened that I didn't really realize that I needed at that time. And, yeah, so the ego sees that kind of stuff, and also farsighted. So the longer I stuck around, it seemed like the less the growth was. Like, the first time, like, I took a shower. That was, like, a miracle to me. I don't know about you guys, but I was a smelly addict in addiction. And, you know, I was homeless. And I went to prison. long time. I didn't have a bank account for 15 years. I just, like, you know, I had nothing. I had nothing. So when I came around here and I was able to take a shower, get some food in my belly, when I was able to like wear clean clothes and actually like lift my head up a little bit. Like it was huge things. When I got a job, when I got an apartment, when I got my license back. I got my license and my credit card almost around the same time. It took me about 2.5 years to be able to get my license back. And I got a credit card the same day, and I was like, do these people know who I am? I got my license, sure, here it is. Just got it. But I was like, I didn't have a bank account for 15 years, you're giving me a credit card. And that's how I bought my sponsor. We'll talk about that. No, she kept saying no to me. She kept saying no to me, and then finally I was like, you know, she wanted to meet up with me because she wanted me to be in her network. And then the third time we met up, I bought her lunch with my new credit card. So she was like, I was like, why won't you be my sponsor? She was like, is that why you came here? You know, we came here and you bought me dinner? I said, no, yeah, maybe. It worked. We joke about that all the time. So, yeah, so in the beginning, getting it, you know, getting my life back, like not using, not having to lie as much, not having to, like, hide as much. Those things were huge, and like getting my license back and just like living normal life was like gigantic. But then I started going to work, going to meeting, going to sleep, going to work, going to meeting, going to sleep. For 2.5 years I did that. I didn't miss a meeting. I used to do like 2 or 3 meetings a day before I got a job. So it was only like work and recovery, work and recovery. And I didn't, and the growth that I was seeing really slowed down. And that's true today even. Like I don't see the changes that recovery makes in my life as easily as I used to. So I gotta have an eagle eye. I gotta really look for it. You know why? Because now it's on the inside. Mm. Like I can admit when I'm wrong. You know, I 10-step promptly. I try to, not perfect at it, not. And, you know, like steps, guys. That's like, right? I didn't know how to live a new way of life. I didn't like the version of me that I was. In fact, I look back and I feel for that addict, but I'm not that addict anymore. And what changed me was to step out of that, to follow the steps to a new cat. And that's who I am today. And I still got, like, you know, I climbed a couple of hills, but I got some mountains left. Just saying. And when I look closely, it is the inside. It's the inside that I need to change. There's always room for spiritual growth, whether you got 15 years, 36 years. How old are you now? 32, right?
Wow.
It's I mean, that seems like a lot, but like one day, again, everybody raise their hand for one day, right? That one day is the most important one. I have a brother that has like 43 years in the other fellowship, you know, our parents. That's the other fellowship. My sponsor told me that too when they talk about predecessors. They mean David? No, kind of, because he came around, right, and chiseled out the N.A. text. But really, our predecessors are AA, right? Because they let us use their steps in their traditions. They showed us the way. Then they said, go. Don't use our name anymore. They're like a little rotten stepchild. But he told me, like, when I first started this journey, after 9 years of coming in and out, he sat down on the couch with me, and I just could not fathom to have the 28 years that he had at the time. And he was like, it's one moment at a time, one day at a time, one week at a time, a month at a time turns into 1 year at a time, right? And as long as you don't die along the way, they're going to get clean cuts, right? As long as you don't pick up, you can't get high. They told me that in Lynn, right? I read it. Lynn, oh my God, Lynn Mass, right? That's where I went to try to get clean my first time, my second time, my third time, my fourth time, my fifth time, my sixth time. I could go on for like a few years there, but thank God for them, because even though I didn't get clean in Lynn, they planted the seed over and over and over again. And what they also showed me, those addicts in those meetings, were, doesn't matter how many times I walk through the door,
that's right,
I'm going to be treated with love, that's kindness, right, and come back. Please come back. Mm-hmm. We need you. We love you. They also were, they didn't wear kick gloves. Kick gloves are what you use when you pick up a porcupine, by the way, just so you know, like, so you don't get poked. But they were like, if you're not serious about this, you're wasting good get high time. And I was like, that got through to me. Like, sit down, shut up, and listen.
Yes.
Right? Because I could talk. I could talk a good game. I was a chameleon out there. And I could talk and I could talk, but like I needed to listen to learn and learn to listen, right? Yeah. Learn to listen, listen to learn. I needed to know what you guys were doing before I practiced what you were doing. So I'll always be grateful to Lynn Mass for that. Believe me, I have 15 years and the people that I am with now that have been in my life for 15 years never saw me get high. Lynn saw, that's all they saw. That's all they saw. I used to walk into meetings and knock my head off the, you know, table because I couldn't keep it up. But not one of them laughed at me or talked behind my back. There's nothing more desperate than an active addict in a room full of clean addicts trying to get a message. So if you're laughing and snickering behind their backs, think about it. Where should they be if they're not supposed to be in these seats? Who are these seats for if they're not for that addict?
That's right. Thank you for saying that.
It's true. You know? And believe me, I know I have addiction in my family. It's not easy to love the active addict. And that's where I kind of learned that we love unconditionally, but that doesn't mean that I have to invite you into my home to steal my TV. Right? When I go to a commitment at a detox, I'll tell you, listen, I love you. That's why I come here. But I know you. That's why I locked my car. But like I have addiction, this is a family disease. I told you I have a brother that has 43 years in AA. When I got a year clean, my brother, I'm the youngest of 11 children. I had 7 brothers and 3 sisters. Addiction ran through like 9 of us. Some got clean without going to any meetings. And in the other fellowship, they call it dry drunk. What do we call it here? I don't know.
Abstinent.
Yeah, an abstinent addict with no 12 steps.
Yeah. Crazy.
And I just spent a 15-day cruise with him. It was wonderful. I love him. He has a lot of opinions. So do I. And we still got along because, like, I know how to practice this program in my life for the most part. So, yeah, it was good. And then I have, you know, some of us found the fellowship. Some of us found the fellowship and chose to leave. And although I came in and out for 9 years, that wasn't available to my brother. I just got a year clean. A month later, my brother died and drank himself to death. Right? Devastating. Devastating. My mother was in her 80s. Like, you're supposed to bury your children, right? I mean, you're not supposed to bury your children. That was painful. But, like, what I found in here is that if I'm going through it, I know somebody in here is going through it, because I listen to you guys, and it might not help me right now, what you're sharing. Down the road, I'll know who to find, and I did. I found people who lost people in here. 3 years ago, I lost my closest sister to a fentanyl overdose. That was so tough, man. That was tough. And then, 3 months later, my mother died in my arms. She wasn't one of us, thank goodness. She's like my higher power sometimes. She's a wonderful person. But it was a rough time. It was a rough time about 3 years ago. I lost five people in my family, my mom and sister. And if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous and you in the fellowship, I don't think I could have made it through. But I had been through all the 12 steps. I have a freaking sponsor that, like, when my sister died, the first person I called was David. Can you come and get me and bring, I need you. And he said, I'll be there. And then I hung up with him, and the next person I called was my sponsor, and I stayed on the phone until David got there. Not because I thought I was going to go out and get high, but I wanted the serenity and the sanity that NA offers me. And I knew I was, like, going through some stuff. I knew what to do. So that was a tough time. But, like, I made it through. I was like, all right, I'm good. I'm good now, right? Now I'm in grief, but I'm okay. Because I heard somebody say, my mother taught me everything except how to live without her. That wasn't my mother. My mother taught me how to be the person that you see before you and how to live without her. She gave me the greatest gift. Like, she gave me all these morals and all these ideals, right? All this integrity. She showed me the way. I lost it because I chose over and over and over again to relapse and to use. Like, I can't say that I don't regret stuff that I did out there. I know that it helps people. When I talk about, like, I did this, and now I'm like this. But I still regret some things out there, right? But, so I was in grief, but I was like, okay, now we can grow. I can learn how to live this new way of life without these people in my life. And then I got cancer. I was like, really? The challenge is that life brings, right? That life on life's terms. I don't know when it stops. I guess when I stop. When it's time for me to go, then that'll be that. But I made it through that too. So, and every day, somebody from Narcotics Anonymous picked me up and took me a chemo. Every time I was done with treatment, somebody from Narcotics Anonymous picked me up and brought me home. That's not guaranteed. I love when I used to come back and I'd be like, well, you're not helping me and you're not helping me. I thought you guys were supposed to help me. Right? Like, I cultivated some relationships around here. Like, when they say stay in the middle, how do I do that? Well, it's very hard to say, hey, will you be my friend? But that's the only way I was able to, like, build relationships that people would be there. Because I'm there. I'm there for them. They're there for me. It's a two-way street. I can't expect you guys. My recovery is my responsibility. And guess what? My life is my responsibility. Like, I have this beautiful guideline on how to live the life and become the person that I can be proud of, that I want to be. But it's not guaranteed that anybody in here is going to help you any more than you help yourself. NA is a wonderful, miraculous, life-saving program. But it needs its gears to move. everybody is responsible for that. I heard a thing, 5% of the people do 100% of the work, right? Service life, service work had saved my life.
Me too.
Right? The first position I had with the monthly was door greeter. I was like...
That's right.
And they were like, we love you. And I'm like, you don't even fucking know me. How do you love me? But they loved what I was attempting to do with my life. Because they knew what was down the path. I didn't. All I knew is I was shake, rattle, and rolling, and these strangers wanted to put their arms around me. But it gave me a sense of belonging, a sense of responsibility. If I didn't show up for that meeting to like hug people, if I didn't take that coffee position for a year, by the way, I don't even drink coffee, don't know if it was good, you know, but I did it anyways. And I thought, they need me there to make coffee, right? And that made me feel wanted and responsible for something. And if I didn't do that, then I wouldn't have been able to go out and get a job. Because I needed to show up for jobs, right? So, lost dreams awaken. Like, I like the eagle and the elephant and the octopus. So I have to be like, I have to be strong like an elephant and remember where I came from. I have to be adaptable, but I also have like to have those eight arms to be able to like reach out for what I want. And I need to be that eagle to be able to like see where I'm going, where I came from, and any obstacles that may get in our way. Lost dreams awaken. I was a junkie that couldn't get off of the corner. I was selling my soul, I was selling my body, I was selling anything you had that I stole from you. I couldn't get off the block, right? But as a child, I used to watch TV and watch like nature shows, and I always wanted to go to Africa. I didn't go there right away. First, I went down to North Carolina and I flew in a helicopter. That was awesome, right? Then I went to Africa on a safari. Wow. I've been on two cruises. Right? But on two cruises to Europe, transatlantic, and I jumped out of a plane with my sponsor.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that I would have, I thought life would be so boring once I stopped using. Boy, was I wrong.
That's right. That's right.
And the wonderful thing about this, it's available to us all. You know? Available to us all. I don't know what your dreams are. You do, but if you stick around, you do the step work, you do some service work around here, you change, you grow, anything's possible. Thanks for letting me share.